Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Tonight, gathered with our hearts open, ready to receive. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will grant us understanding. We are desperate, we are hungry. And we ask, oh God, that you will move in an unusual way. Open our eyes, open our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the sick be healed, let the oppressed be delivered, and let Jesus be glorified. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Good to see everyone tonight. Hallelujah. Very powerful song from the worship team. I remain committed to helping us experience the reality of life in the spirit, the reality of life in the kingdom. The Bible says, I will give you pastors after my heart, and their assignment is to open us up to the deep things of the spirit. Hallelujah. It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And it says, your profiting will appear unto all. So every time we come, I like for your heart to remain open. Be passionate, don't be distracted. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to share something very powerful tonight and we'll pray. Truly, it is my commitment that every service this year becomes one that will open us up to very deep dimensions in the spirit. It's a year of dominion, and it takes the understanding of truth to be able to walk in dominion. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, popular scripture. It says, I commend you to God, Paul is teaching, and to the word of his grace, he says, that is able to, number one, build you up capacity, number two, give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So the word builds and it can grant us access. Hallelujah. What I'm teaching tonight is relevant both to the advancement of the purposes of God, and then by extension, listen very carefully, defines the quality of our lives. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 12. The Bible reveals a very interesting story from verse 7. It's a story that is very old, and then it reveals a tragedy that becomes the basis for the saints to access dominion in the spirit. And there was war in heaven. Look up. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels. We are reading to verse 9. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were with him. Jump to verse 12, and then we'll come back to 11. Therefore, rejoice. As a result of what happened to Lucifer, he said, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein. Why? Because Satan has been cast. However, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. There is trouble now. Rejoice in heaven. Finally, it is finished. Satan is out of that domain. However, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Two locations that are very serious. The earth and the sea. When you go to the book of the beginnings, Genesis, you will understand that everything came out of water. Water is symbolic of abundance. The earth, the trees come out of it. And now he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? He says, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now go to verse 11. And they overcame him by two deep mysteries. Number one is called the blood of the Lamb. Not blood, the blood of the Lamb. Number two, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Open our eyes, so God grant us understanding. Holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. It's interesting that there was a lamentation in heaven. The lamentation. There are very few times in the Bible where there is a combination of joy and lamentation at the same time. Heavens rejoice. The rebel has been thrown out of that domain. But earth, woe to you. Because a season is about to unfold, there is an old serpent that had been cast down to your domain. And it is important that you are aware. Listen very carefully. One of the reasons why the saints must walk in dominion, it is because there is an old story. There is an old serpent. The Bible calls him the devil and Satan. That he had been cast down. And he's looming around the horizon, a real personality alongside the angels. Hallelujah. And the Bible lets us know that he does many things, and one of it is to deceive, another is to accuse, and he had been sent down. And that means the inhabitants of the earth must not be ignorant. If heaven is saying woe to the inhabitants of the earth, it is because there is a potential for catastrophe if the saints do not understand this and walk in dominion. Are we together? Praise the Lord. When we talk about dominion, generally, you know, most people just say dominion, you know, and shout take over and all of that. It is not the idea. Listen carefully. The idea is not some fleshly advancement of people. No, it is the fulfillment of prophecy. that predates even our arrival here, that there is an old story, is a story of the rebellion of a serpent that has been casted down to this domain of God's kingdom. And the Bible tells us that everything from the second heaven has been affected by his presence, the earth and the sea. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so if we must reign in life and advance the purposes of God and also advance our individual lives, we must sustain the intelligence and the understanding in the spirit that grants us victory, not just over the elements of nature, not just over the systems and the structures, but over this enemy of God's progress called the devil. And the key, the Bible tells us, is to be able to sustain the light and the knowledge and the illumination that will grant us access to victory. I found a scripture that I think will really bless us. Psalm 74, verse 20. Psalm 74. It says, have respect unto the covenant. And the reason is because the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. That means, Lord, remember the system and the strategy you have put in place for the victory of the saints, because outside of it, we will be exposed to the cruelty that comes with this system. So the Bible tells us that the earth is dark and cruel because of this being that continues to remain an arch enemy to the purposes of God. And then the Bible says our knowledge of the truth of God's kingdom becomes our bailout system. Lord, respect, honor the covenant. Why? Because the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. I want to open our eyes to a very, very, very powerful mystery that will help us. I'll be showing us several systems that make for dominion. And one of it tonight is probably, I would say, I may not say it's the biggest, it may not be fair to say it's the biggest, but one of the chiefest reasons why the saints may not experience the fullness of the life, the power, and the glory of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. That this Satan has now become what? Look up, please. Who suddenly coronated him to become the God of this world? The last time we read, he is a victim who was thrown out from heaven. Now, Satan was not just roaming around the earth. He had manipulated the system and risen in ranking to now become the God of this world. He was not thrown as the God of this world. He was thrown as one who was exposed to the vengeance and the judgment of God. But Satan, to show you the extent of the flawlessness of his craftsmanship, through the ages manipulated systems and men until he rose to this rank and earned himself an office as the God of this world. Follow me carefully. Are we together? Are you following my story? So it starts with a tragic event in Revelation, that a seeming weak being was thrown to the earth, and God warned us. He said, be careful with this guy, don't take him for granted. This Satan is not foolish, he is a master at deception, and he's a master at accusation. Earth, pay attention to this being. If you ignore him, it will be to your peril. And here is the effect of neglecting his warning. Satan suddenly has found his way through the ages and crowned himself a name that even the Bible honors, the God of this world. He couldn't be the God in heaven, but he found himself a space. Are we following together? You ancient Zion's key, Kadosh,
is showing us the continuity of the ministry of this strange serpent who is called Satan. He's also called the devil. How he rose to this rank is a mystery that we all know. We have to go to the book of Genesis to see the showmanship of his artistry, that this man is anything but foolish. Are we together now? There was a reason why heaven was crying and saying, "Earth, on your own you are already in trouble." That this man deceived 1/3 of the angels in heaven. Oh, earth, there is trouble. There is trouble, and we will not hide it. That Satan. And now we see that Satan had earned himself a title. Now, let me tell you, whoever starts as a weak man in life and becomes a lord of anything should be respected. Who assisted him is a mystery. How the other demons did not fight him and remain loyal even in his rebellion is a mystery we must learn. When the Bible says be wise as serpent, it's a technology that we must employ for our dominion in today's world. What did Satan use that even in the face of failure the angels did not run away? Look at this. In the God of this world. Paul is a dangerous man. That guy is a dangerous man. How Paul saw this. The Bible says, now the God of this world, and then it now gives us a picture of one of the ways that he has sustained his ascendance. The Bible says there is something he does to the minds of a people and a territory that Satan is not concerned about your eyes. The God of this world operates by blinding the minds of them that believe not. Lest he is afraid of one thing. The Bible exposes the one arch enemy of Satan. And the enemy is not angels. The enemy is not even men. The enemy is light. Now watch this, please. Understand my teaching tonight. Here is a man who has been cast down on earth. And while he was on earth, the Bible tells us that he found a way of achieving this goal. From generation to generation, he is able to cast a spell upon the minds of people and find a way of inhibiting individuals, territories, families from seeing the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. That when that light is allowed to shine on them, there is an effect. It is impossible for that light to shine upon an individual, to shine upon a people. The Bible finally reveals that Satan can be afraid, and it tells us what he's scared of. Not angels, not heaven, not prayer, not man. Light. Are you following me tonight? We're dealing with something very serious. So Satan does not fear technology. Satan does not fear education. Satan does not fear men. Satan does not even seem to have, if he dared God, who will he fear? But there is a mystery that something light does to Satan. Satan is threatened by light. He goes out of his way. He does not take chances. From children to the elderly, once he sees you, his first test is, are you seeing? The moment you are seeing, you are a threat to Satan. That the power of Satan is when you are blind. Blindness. That when a man cannot see, the Bible says that Satan will leave him and remain the god of this world. Are we together? So this is it. That there is one of the dominion systems of the kingdom that the Bible guarantees, as revealed by Satan's own testimony, that when Satan finds men, he doesn't tie their hands, he doesn't tie their finances, he doesn't tie anything. He goes straight to their minds, the center of illumination and knowledge, and that you can cast a spell. Once that happens, how many of you have seen people remove something from a scorpion? There's something they say, a scorpion is weak, but once you remove that sting, you can allow it to go around. This is it. Let me show you a scripture. I pray that God will open our eyes to see something powerful tonight. Matthew chapter 13 starts from verse 10 to 17. Jesus, your Jesus, my Jesus, mentor Jesus. When Jesus is teaching, listen to him. He's communicating an intelligence. Remember, he called himself the light of the world. That means already that name is a threat. I hope we already identified what scares Satan. That the moment there is the mention of light, Satan is on peace. Now, Jesus did not bring light. He now came and said, I am. So when the light is speaking, it means anything he tells you is a weapon of victory. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light a candle.
Please give us that scripture.
Now, and the disciples came and said unto him, Jesus, we have a question for you. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why have you borrowed a system of communication? Why do you not talk directly? Why do you borrow from agriculture and borrow from nature? And he says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it has not been given. Next verse, please. It says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. 13. It says, therefore, watch this, speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That means I borrowed parables because there is a condition with these people. Are we together now? The parable is like a therapy to try to communicate. There is a fundamental condition with these people, that something has happened to them, that although they are looking, they are not seeing. Although you speak, they cannot hear, and they will not understand. 14. It says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy. Isaiah saw this, which say, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Next verse, please. It says, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have what? Closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, they should understand, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. He's revealing a condition. Jesus is saying, when I look at these people, although they are looking back at me, there is something that the God of this world, Satan, has done to them. I will have to use a parable to help them at least understand, and that this is the condition, that a people can look and yet not see, a people can hear and yet not understand. Are we blessed? Therefore, in God's definition, listen carefully, blindness, spiritual blindness, you may want to write this down. As I was preparing, the Holy Spirit gave me a very powerful definition. That blindness in the kingdom and in the spirit is not limited to the closing of your eyes. That blindness in the spirit is also an alteration or a deviation of your perception from actual reality. Write this down. An alteration or a deviation of your perception from actual reality. a deviation, an alteration of your perception from actual reality is blindness. So blindness does not mean you do not have imagery or perception, but that Satan has a way of altering your perception so that you no longer perceive actual reality. The Bible says it is a strategy that Satan used for many years until he ascended the throne to become the God of this world. Lest at any point they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart. Please look up. That spiritual blindness is the chief tool that Satan used from the time he fell, roaming around the length and breadth of this domain, that Satan became a master. He created all kinds of systems to make sure that light, illumination, that blindness, he plagues the saints with spiritual blindness, not by closing their physical eyes, but by deviating their perceptions, so that although they are seeing, but what they are seeing is not reality. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord,
like menorah.
Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle.
Hallelujah. And I want to show you how that the dominion of the saints is at the mercy of many mysteries, but chiefest among them is the mystery of open eyes. The Bible even said we all with unveiled face. It's amazing that the face must be unveiled first before we see and we are changed. We all with unveiled face, the veil that Satan casted, that something must happen to you before you behold his glory as in a mirror. And then you are changed from glory to glory. I want to show you, let's study scripture. And we're going to look at certain things that can plague a people when there is blindness. And there is no other place to start than to go to Genesis 27. Let's start from there. Genesis 27. I want to show you a powerful mystery. Can you pray in the spirit while you are turning there? Genesis 27. Shilaparus kabarun de shalevariata. And it came to pass, please be patient with me, it's a long reading, just look at the projector. When Isaac was old, look up please, the Bible says his eyes were dim. Notice that for some reason the Bible does not tell us the other things happening to him, doesn't seem to care about it. The Bible now focuses on his eyes, that it was dim so that he could not see. And then he called Esau from a standpoint of blindness. Watch this now. We're about to see what spiritual blindness can do, even to the anointing. And he said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. Long reading. Please, let's hurry up. He says, I do not know the day of my death. 3. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, the weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, go to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. So Jacob is about to release the anointing. He's about to bless. He's about to speak. Isaac. And then Rebecca. Now look at this. My God. Scriptures. Whatever kills your appetite for scripture is really destroying you. And in the name of Jesus, if your appetite for scripture has died, let it be restored this night. And Rebecca heard, watch this. Rebecca heard a conversation between Isaac and Esau. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. 6. Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. He said, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, bless you before my death. 8. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me then 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and he may bless thee before his death. 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, now watch this, there was a problem. And the problem is that my brother is a hairy man. I am of smooth skin. Although my father is blind, he will feel my body and find out I am not hairy. Read this. 12. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, 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 deceiver. Take note there. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Next verse. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. 15. And Rebekah took what? Goodly raiment. Everybody say blindness. That blindness can cause you to perceive, but you do not perceive reality. Watch this. That everywhere Satan is operating, he will give a similitude of what is reality, but it is not reality. It is the way he thwarts dominion in this kingdom. He took goodly raiment of our eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, the younger son. 16. And she put the skin of the kid and the goat upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave him the savory meat, and he went to meet his father. 18. And he came to his father and said, my father, watch this. And he said, here am I. He says, who art thou, my son? Next verse. And Jacob said to his father, I am what? Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul will bless me. 20. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it quickly? Some things in life don't happen fast. What suddenly happened that you just came fast with this kind of result? He said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Next verse. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son or not. Remember, this problem was founded upon blindness. That if the eyes of Isaac was opened, the possibility of this deception would not even start. Are we together now? And now, because the eye is blind, he will have to make do with other inferior faculties of perception. And now expose himself to the ministry of this one who is called the God of this world. And that he operates by deviating men from reality. Now, don't forget, this is an anointed man about to bless. 22 is a mystery I do not want you to forget in your life. Look up, please. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father and felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. This is a mystery. I'm hearing Jacob's voice, but because I do not have perceptions, I can think it is Esau. So I'm about to mistransfer the blessing. Because my eyes are dim and I will have to depend on my hearing and my touching. Now a possibility to manipulate me exists. I am hearing Jacob's voice, but I cannot deny that Jacob is not hairy. I mean, you do not have hair in one day. Now Jacob, Isaac is confused because blindness has opened up a possibility although he's hearing the voice of Jacob, he's feeling Esau, who is not Esau. Next verse. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's, as his brother Esau's hands. So he did what? Blessed him. With all the anointing that was on Isaac, the mother connives with Jacob, and they have two limitations. One, you cannot change your voice, but I know your father will want to feel you. And he said, let me put hair upon you so that he will think it is Jacob. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, that old serpent has come with great fury, that he can go around to deceive. And you are seeing the operation of this happen. Watch this. And he said, thou art my son Esau. Now here, this is not what I'm teaching tonight, but isn't it amazing how deeply spiritual these men knew? They had an understanding of the spirit. There was something that was within Isaac's spirit that when it came out on whoever, it will produce a continuity of the result that they had from their lineage. Results are truly spiritual. That there is something that can come upon a man and control possibilities. Here's what we are seeing now. Here I am, 25. He says, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's venison, and my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near and he did eat, and he brought him wine and he drank. 26. Oh dear. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, a blessing is about to be misappropriated, although anointed, but blindness is about to channel something. Now, there are all kinds of dimensions of perceiving this, but this is the message that I want to communicate to you today. That he said, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. 29. Let people serve thee and nations bow to you. That means these results are not ordinary. Something happens in the secret that produces this outcome in the public. Here is a man who is blind, and he is calling men who he has not seen, that wherever you find them, I make them serve you. The blessing. Abraham did it to me. Now, my dear son, I cannot go to the grave. There are things we carry to control the results that we command. And now we exercise dominion in our days. Not because of who. There were mysteries that we carried. We preserved like treasures. Now I cannot die with it. If I die with it, you will suffer. And let me release this upon you. And he's saying, be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that cursed you, and blessed be he that blessed thee. 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made the end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone from his presence, the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Spiritual blindness. A man is about to bless, and the blessing goes to the wrong place, not because anything affected his anointing, but something affected his eyes. Are you getting this now? Are you learning something? Who seeing they will not see. He felt him and did his best to be sure that it was Esau, and the blessing went to Jacob. The Bible says, it came to pass as soon as Isaac, okay, 31. I'll find someone, maybe one or two more verses, and I'll stop. And he also had made a savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Next verse. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and I have blessed him, and yea, he shall be blessed. That it is possible for God to speak concerning a man, but where your lifting comes, blindness can be casted on that person, and there will be a misappropriation of prophetic blessings, and another will take your place in destiny. Listen, the Bible says the things that are written aforetime, they are for our learning, so that we through the comfort of scripture may find hope. He is blessed. He shall be blessed. Next verse. And when Esau heard this word, please look up. May God take away the limitation of science and the carnality of our days on our spiritual life. Look at this. Please look at this. A full-grown man who is a professional hunter breaks down and is crying like a baby. Why? Did he lose the ability to hunt? That the realm of the spirit is so programmed that dominion is not ordinary. He stands with his skill to hunt. He stands with the animal, and yet he weeps. Jacob, what did you do? You took away something that would have connected me to a strange lineage of dominion. This is what will make situations and circumstances bow to me. You've heard me say it is what is on you that controls what is around you. It is not a lie. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Why will an adult cry? The father did not lose the ability to speak. That means there is something about the blessing that we need to learn. He said, it's gone. He said, Father, bless me, even me, oh my father, find something and tell me. He said, thy brother came in subtly and had taken away. The blessing is real. It is tangible. It can move from place to place. The blessing is not like matches that you can carry and say there's another one. There is an exact body of spiritual mysteries that can be cast upon a man that will turn things around in your life. This is what left Isaac to Esau. Blindness made an anointed man to misbless. I'd like you to pray whilst you are seated. Lord, open my eyes. Take away spiritual blindness from my life. That my place in destiny will not be sabotaged through blindness. Hallelujah. Blindness made the anointing to be wrongly directed. Blindness. Blindness short-circuited the potential of the anointing. Scripture number 2, Genesis chapter 19. This is a story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Please look up. And there came two angels, verse 1, 19, to Sodom. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Please look up. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself and his face towards the ground. We are reading to 11. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. The angels were going to stay in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. Watch this. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, before he lay down, the men in the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, 5. And they called upon Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them. 6. And Lot went out at the door and said to them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. 8. Behold, now I have 2 daughters which have not known any man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. 9. Look at this. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Look at the kind of madness of these people. But the men, the angels now, put forth their hand and put Lot into the house to them, and did what? Shut the door. Next verse. And they smote the men that were at the door, not with leprosy, not with paralysis, not with HIV, but with blindness, both small and great. The effect, I reject it in your life, but you go ahead and say it. So that they weary themselves to find the door. The door was there, but because there was blindness, the Bible says they wearied themselves. It's amazing how close you can be, but because your eyes do not see, you can stand in front of a door. The Bible did not say they tried. They wearied themselves to find the door. He casted blindness on them. He did not take the door away. He did not shift them away. He knew that opening the door is useless when your eyes is blind. There are times that Satan does not need to take you away from your breakthrough. He just needs to make you blind. And you can be so close, yet so far. Lord, take away blindness from my life. Open your mouth and pray. Let me not be near the door. Door stands for opportunities, access. But because blindness is upon the eyes of a person, a people, a territory, a nation, they can be close to doors, and yet the doors do not open. They weary themselves to find the door. Shela paruta sike paratus. They wearied themselves to find the door. Is someone praying? They wearied themselves to find the door. The door of marriage, the door of finances, the door of ministerial exploits. They wearied themselves to find the door because their eyes were blind. The door of influence, the door of dominion, the door of strange speed. Close, but with eyes that are blind. Someone is praying, because in this season of dominion, God must open your eyes to see that the men were close to the door, yet their hands could not reach the door. Shigebaruta shigata rakapaka tozegete kaparakata shika ebrenteske paruta sheleka husia brato segebarusiata. The miracle of open eyes, illumination, the greatest threat to the prince of darkness, dominion by light, victory over the God of the cosmos. Hallelujah. Please sit down. They wearied themselves to find the door. The door was there. They were there. Their hands were healthy, but their eyes were blind. Scripture number 3. 2 Kings chapter 6. From verse 8.
We see the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Please be sensitive. May God show you what I want to show you now. It says the king of Syria, this is Bible. Once upon a time, the king of Syria warred against Israel. And he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, that when the eyes of a man is open, you can see events, know things before they happen. Remember, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church. Beware that thou pass not such and such a place. Your safety is at the mercy of your sight. It says, for thither the Syrians are come down. 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. Sight will defend you, and sight will give you safety for your lifetime. Sight will not only bail you out once, twice, it will continue for as long as you can see. Next verse. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Next verse. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the seer. Elisha the seer. Elisha the seer. The one who has received the miracle of open eyes. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. The power of sight, that you do not need to go around the world to command dominion. From where you are, is a mystery of priesthood, that God can give you eyes to see and know. You are legislating from distance and kilometers from a point by the power of sight, not vision, sight, the seeing eyes. Listen, sit down please. He said, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Next verse. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city round about. And when the servant of the man of God, look up please, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? Next verse. And he answered, fear not. That means fear does not just go. Fear goes when light comes. There are things you see, and if you do not see them, fear will remain in your life forever. The servant was innocent, he was only limited. Next verse. For they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. That was the verse 17. This will be our prayer this night. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses. Hela paruta shalata. Open his eyes over that idea that in that small room he can see that what you are holding that looks like a small idea can be a global miracle. Open her eyes that she may see. Please hold on. Look up, please. And he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, watch this, Elisha did not need to fight. An army is useless when they are blind. Elisha did not pray, Lord, let their weapons drop. No. Elisha did not pray, Lord, make them like me. No. Elisha said, I know that Satan is the God of this world. And I know that Satan can drive where there is blindness. It's a weapon. When it comes upon a man in the cosmos, that man becomes a slave. And look at this. The prophet said, he prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people. That means blindness is not a blessing. Smite these people, I pray thee, with what? Blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Next verse. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, watch this, as a blind army, they were led to Samaria. And Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria, defenseless. They had now been surrounded by people who could kill them immediately. Next verse. And the king of Israel said, Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Next verse. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Would thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive? How did he take them captive? There is no point fighting when blindness comes. This is powerful. It's a weapon that has been used to enslave Africa, respectfully speaking, for decades. It's a weapon that Satan used to enslave our parents. Culture, an aberration of perceptions that will not allow the glory and the power of God to be revealed. Listen, would thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? He says, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. There is no better way of humiliating an army than doing this. An army comes with their sword well trained. You make them blind, open their eyes to see, and now in fear and terror, you give them bread and say, take this report back to your king. Next verse. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. What was the result? So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Whom the God of this world had blinded their eyes, blinded their minds. Listen to me. There are all kinds of doors in this season set before us by the Spirit. But just because the doors are open does not mean you can possess and walk in dominion. The mystery is the miracle of open eyes. Tonight our cry is the cry of Elijah. Oh God, open his eyes. Listen, it's because of the limited scope of light that we have fear. Fear over the future. Fear over a job. Fear my life. How is it going to be? The secret is not even just casting out the spirit of fear. The spirit of revelation, illumination. Now watch this. Let me give you one scripture. Mark chapter 8. We're going to pray. We'll start from verse 22. Look at this interesting scripture. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring what? A blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. This is Jesus. And he took the blind man by the hand. Watch this. And led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked and he said, I see, but my perception is altered. I am seeing, but I am not seeing actual reality. I am seeing. Now I know God can prosper, but I still don't know the dynamics. I now know that people can be anointed, but what the real secret to the anointing is, I know that people can rise in this kingdom. I'm beginning to see. But I'm seeing men like trees. I have started seeing the secret to wealth and prosperity, but it's still hazy. I've started learning the dynamics of the anointing, but it's still hazy. I've started prophesying, but it's still 2 out of 20. I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing well. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Do you know what this means? If you see men as trees walking, that means they are not moving. After that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly and saw every principle clearly and saw every formula clearly and saw the paths in the spirit clearly. You are brooding. Listen, so there is total blindness. Then there is open eyes, but hazy visions, hazy perceptions. Then there is perfect vision, perfect light. Did the Bible not say the path of the just works like that? It starts like the night into the morning and keeps becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until it is the brightness of the day. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Now you will understand Paul's prayer. why Paul prayed to a people who were under a territory that was bewitched by a she goddess called Diana, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18, here's the prayer. The eyes of your understanding being what? That ye may know, when your eyes are enlightened, authority. Remember, we agree that the one thing that threatens Satan is light. That the brighter your light, your spiritual illumination in experience, the more practical and real your dominion becomes. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. We are reading to verse 4. Even as they delivered them unto us, look up please, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. It seemed good unto me also, having what? Had perfect understanding. This is a dimension that a believer can get into. You can attain a dimension. Listen, I have taught you here that it is the pursuit of God and the knowledge of his person that is infinite. The principles that make for the practical dominion of the saints here and now are finite. And the Bible says you can press to a point of quintessence that you can have perfect understanding of how many things? Perfect understanding of the principles, all things, from the very first. And it is by that authority that I write unto you, most excellent Theophilus. Next verse. That thou mightest know the certainty. In other words, I am not communicating to you, Dr. Luke is saying, from a standpoint of ignorance. Inasmuch as I continue to grow, but on this matter, I have sustained perfect understanding. It says, wherein thou hast been instructed. Look at me, my brothers and my sisters, hear me. The blindness that is upon the saints, we must fight it until it is torn. Otherwise, dominion will remain a theme. For many years, I tried to look for what exactly scares Satan. Because I never saw him afraid of angels. They fought him. I didn't even see him afraid of man. I didn't even see him afraid of Jesus. But here it is. Light. The effect of spiritual illumination on your eyes and on your mind. There is something you can see that the age-long captivity of witchcraft and divination that has tied down your families. Listen, you can go for deliverance all your life, but if your eyes doesn't see that there is something about the reality of priesthood that can veto foundations. And this is not just some Pentecostal talk, in reality. The Bible now says they overcame him by two mysteries. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is the legitimate ground upon which the saints have been grafted into Christ. The blood of the Lamb becomes the propitiation for our sins. Are we together now? And now through the blood, it has been opened to the saints, the new and living way the Bible teaches. Are we together now? We can now come boldly. Then the second weapon is the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. The Bible says their testimonies are able to make wise the simple. Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters, hear me. Light is the secret to dominion. Light. But not just light carelessly. The light of the Word of God articulated with perfect understanding, communicated to the saints, that when you believe it, who hath believed our report? The Bible says, to such a man hath the arm of the Lord been stretched forth. There is a dimension of light that governs wealth and prosperity. There is a dimension of light that governs influence and access to the heart of a generation. There is a dimension of light, listen to me, that governs longevity. There is a dimension of light that governs favor. There is a dimension of light that governs speed. We must press by the Spirit. Listen to me. We must press by the, in this dark world that continues to become darker. Do you know the higher you rise, the more perfect understanding will be required? There are certain levels of ignorance that will not be tolerated again at certain realms. It is expected that as you attain unto those realms, you would have illumination sufficient to be predictable in your outcomes. It is not when you go to a crusade ground that you will be guessing whether the power of God will move or not. It's too risky. The people are too sick and angry to allow you to try. You can experiment now and keep going. But if at all you cry that God should keep you on a crusade ground, then heaven must be able to vet for you and say, in 1 hour you will capsize hell and bring judgment to the camp of the enemy. Do you understand the secrets of the kingdom? Have they come upon you? Has the veil been taken away from your eyes to see? Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. You can see it, my brothers and my sisters, and yet never understand. There is something you can see, my dear worship people. You will be plugged into a fountain of an endless stream of psalmistry. It will be strange. You will be like the tree that is planted. Songs will flow from heaven. You will not write them. They will come. There is a dimension you will plug into that favor. It's as if they connected a machine to you and everybody on earth. There is a dimension you will walk into. Look at the way Elisha seemed to be playing with God's intelligence. Lord, open their eyes and he opened. Lord, close their eyes and he closed. Okay, open it again and he opened. You try to say that and see how difficult it is. If you can open an eye, you can open a city. The same grace it takes to open one eye is the grace it takes to open the two-lipped gate of a city. That with one utterance, this is how we dominate over territories. So that your presence now becomes an advantage to any territory. You can stand from one position like a herbalist and speak to the gates of a city. Be open thither and hither, and suddenly all kinds of good things come in. Dominion, sovereign control by the power of light. That you carry this thing on your head and you know you carry it. You know it's there. It is there, unquestionable. Koinonia, please hear me. Because this is the realm and the dimension that you must step into. It's a dimension of dominion. That when you stand, you know what to do. You know what to do. The elements know your voice. You know what to do. You understand the spiritual technology of making things happen. The dynamics of manifestation. Brooding over all my darkness, you are causing your light
to shine from darkness.
You are beautiful.
Hey. You are causing light to shine from
your enemies. That you can look at your loved ones and say, dear people, salvation has come. My eyes have seen. My eyes have seen. My eyes have seen. I have seen it, the way out. I have seen the way of the Spirit. It's a mystery. I know what it takes to set this family free from the age-long captivity. And I know what it takes to restore the time that has been lost. Listen. The days that are coming will require individual understanding of this light. It is good to enjoy corporate grace and covering. But let me tell you, the demands of destiny will require that you know Satan, that you know the cosmos, and you can stand without fear because you understand the spiritual arsenals that have been made available, not because you heard a preacher. Ah! Your life becomes a plethora of miracles. Because you have now come, you have risen a pedestal in the spirit with open eyes. You see things from perfect reality. No aberration of your understanding. You know it, that this is the secret to prosperity. I've got it. Great fathers of faith, when they caught different dimensions, they expressed themselves in different ways. Some of them sounded like they were arrogant. Some of them sounded like they were, but the results, after many years. And Jesus himself knew what to do. Listen, let me tell you, Satan is not as invincible as life and time and blindness makes him look. The Bible calls these spirits rulers of darkness. That means that the jurisdiction of their dominion is when the spell of darkness is casted upon the saints. Paul himself was given an apostolic ministry to open the eyes of the blind, not just physically. I now see. This is why I've been falling under the anointing in spite of the prayer of deliverance, and it looks like I've not been free. Now the code has come to pass. I see. So this is the spirit that operates around my territory and makes young men to never rise. I found it. I've seen it. Now I know. This is the operation and the mystery that makes every good thing to leave me in my life. That good things cannot last 2 weeks in my life. I found it. I found thy word and I did eat it. He says, and it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. Our weightiness in the spirit is by the light of God's glorious grace that has been casted upon us. You are weighty in the spirit to the degree to which light, the threat to Satan, light. Smith Wigglesworth caught light about the dominion of the saints above principalities and powers. And one time he was sleeping and his room was shaking, and he came out and saw a vision of the devil sitting, and he went back to sleep. You are not worth my attention. No. The Bible says it's only those who are in the earth that cry. Now I've been lifted up and raised up with Christ, and I'm sitting in a domain that will not allow tears again. It is those who depend on the earth and the sea for their supplies that cry. Listen, please hear me. You may hear us talk like this and it looks like arrogance, but keep watching. One of the things that God will use the saints to do in this season is to disciple nations. That they will reveal the excellency of the ways of God. Are we together now? Yes. That God will bring us to a point where it will be like Paul and Barnabas, where men will say, this is Zeus and this is Hermes. Operating upon mysteries that are invincible. They do not fail. It may take time to see their potentials, but their potentials are wondrous. Right from where you are, hear me, my brothers and my sisters, that in Christ, this is the kind of destiny of dominion that God has put. Shake off that limitation of your foundation. Shake off the limitation of where you came from. Apostle, I cannot speak English so well. No, I understand. But let it come upon you and let your eyes see. And then you will watch the wonder working power of the ways of God. The Bible says his ways are hidden in the sea, and no man can even see the footprints to copy. It will take the Spirit of God guiding men into all truth. But when he shows you and your eyes see it, you have found it. Life is not haphazard. The more the light of God is casted upon us, we begin to see the lines that connect. We see what our father saw that very few people saw, and we begin to follow in that path, one step after another. Reminds me of the vision that I had many years ago, when the angel of the Lord held my hands, and then we were moving, and there was a small step, and I was jumping from building to building. This is what God can make: a showmanship, a masterpiece of wonder with those who believe. When God says it's a year of dominion, please find a way of believing it. That God is not a man that he should lie, that God is not the son of man that he should repent, and that in spite of the fact that there is an adversary, find hope. He was already judged from heaven, and then the one who judged him from heaven granted an authorization for the saints to continue to keep him at bay, and that the secret to unending dominion with Satan and with the elements is light. Light. The light that shines upon your mind. Spiritual understanding. Illumination. That you will control wealth like God's. You will control resources. You will control the loyalty of a generation as though you have casted a charm upon them. It is a mystery. None of these commodities are affordable in the earth realm. They are not bought with money. Education cannot buy them. Human connections cannot buy them. It resides in a realm that only your hunger can take you to. And when activated, it turns your life into a living wonder. It may take time. But my brothers and my sisters, hear me. When you see, then a generation will see you. The Lord is sharing this with us because he wants to take away the blindness that has limited us. I'm from Kaduna State. I'm from Plateau State. I'm from Kogi State. I am from Lagos. I am a Nigerian. I am an African. The same Lord is rich unto all. Unto all, not unto some. The same Lord is rich, wealthy, lavish, benevolent. And he told Abraham, from where thou art, lift up your eyes. Not lift up your hands. Not move forward. Lift up your eyes first. Because once I can work on your perception and coordinate your understanding to see things as I see, then there is no limit. There is no limit, I'm telling you. Moses went up the mountain and he saw a vision of the tabernacle. When he came back, God said, reproduce it. He began to coordinate men. But that tabernacle, when you see your breakthrough, when you see the next level, I don't just mean imaginary visions. I mean by the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit resting upon you. And suddenly you will see it. And shake yourself from that shackle. Like Peter, the first gate opens for you. The second gate opens for you. Then you come to the iron gate. And the iron gate that opens you to the city. There is a gate that opens you to the city. The first gate opens you out of prison, but not to the city. The second gate sandwiches you between your yesterday and your tomorrow. But there is a gate that when it opens, the next thing you see is influence the city. And all three gates must open for dominion to work. When Peter was bound, the angel came, and the first gate takes you out of your condition where you are, but you are not yet at the place of influence. The city has not yet seen you. They are yet to partake of the blessings and the grace of your life, but you are, the chains have fallen. And then you come to the second gate. Your experience is still taking you forward. You are not where you were, but you are not where you need to be. And then you come to a strange gate that the Bible calls the iron gate. And the Bible says he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. When that gate opens, the angel says, come, the city is opened up for you. Opened up for you financially. Opened up for you spiritually. Listen, when it's time to pray, I really want us to pray from the depth of our heart. I came with a burden and I vowed a vow to God that all through this year, that the teachings that you would receive would mentor you. Did you know my greatest desire, my brothers and my sisters, is to watch God's people rise in power, in grace, manifesting the possibilities of the Christ here and now by the Spirit, validating these things that were spoken. There will have to be a generation that demonstrates that reality. Our fathers have shown us this is possible. They have communicated the dimensions of God given to them. Now the baton has been given to us, and we must run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We owe a generation a revelation of the Christ, a dimension of the spirit life that we cannot fail. We must let the generation that we minister to see Christ in a way and manner. It will take diligence, the search for light. Shaparuskata, Lord, light, open to me the scroll. Let my eyes see. What did Papa Hagin see? What did Smith Wigglesworth see? What did Maria Woodward Eater see? Listen, listen. It is important. The Bible says to wash our eyes with eye salve. To wash so that we can see. Lord, I am tired of seeing your financial principles wrongly. I'm tired. What is the secret of ministry? Why is it that anything I do in ministry fails? There is an aberrated view. I'm not seeing well. Let the veil be torn. Connect east and west. Show me the coordinates of success. Let me see and know and handle it. And like Apostle Peter, I can now say that the things we have seen, the things we have heard, the things our hands have handled, that of the word of life, that's what we teach. So that it will no longer be cunningly devised fables. Authority is vested upon you practically, that you can speak to men and nations and turn the climate over men to represent the favor of the Christ. Listen. The key to stop being afraid of Satan is not to run away from him, is to study him. When you understand and study the systems of the kingdom, and the spirit of grace and revelation comes to you and opens the scroll, and you see things as they are, then you will walk in dimensions of power and authority. You will see the predictability that comes to life. Now, there is a side effect to this. Listen to me. Not everybody will see things as you are seeing. Are we together? So you will return back home with this depth of conviction, and you will meet a shocking surprise, because you are talking to largely blind people, and they will not see as you see. So you are going to pray and say, Lord, the kind of result that silences arguments. Listen, hear me. There are results that are open for contention and debates, but there are results that cause principalities and powers and men to stand in awe and say, this one is the finger of God. You are not only praying for light, you are praying for light that is cast upon you, that translates into a grace and an intelligence, producing results that are provable here and now. If it's in ministry, you cry, "Oh God, please open my eyes to see." Not for some self-aggrandizement. No. We're talking about kingdom come. We're talking about the advancement of the purposes of God. Lord, open my eyes. Let me connect this finance thing once and for all. God of heaven, let me not spend my life trying to guess how these laws work. Open my eyes to see it, to eat of the riches and out of the fatness to feed nations. Hear me? We are going to pray. The first prayer point tonight is to open up to God with all your heart, your areas of darkness and ignorance. You are going to have to cry and say, "Lord, I acknowledge you have helped me in this area, but I confess that my inadequacy in this area is glaring before me. That darkness is crying for your light." If you sustain the humility to cry before God, then your heart is open and you are ready to receive illumination in that area. So prayer point number one, "Lord, behold the darkness around my life in this and that area." Cry to God. Find a position that is most convenient. We are praying to the God of heaven, the Father of spirits.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. You cannot bless a generation until you have obtained the keys that make for that blessing. Listen. It says, "Let your light." It first must be your light. Not let God's light. Let your light that has now worked in you shine before men, that they may see not your light, your results, your good deeds, and glorify your Father. So the first thing is, you must have that light. Manifestation is impossible until you have encountered light, genuine light. You are going to cry, "Father, like lightning from heaven, may the light required for every dimension of my life, let it fire from heaven to my destiny." Lift your voice. Like the lightning. Listen, you are going to rebuke what happened in Sodom from your life. That Lord, I am close to an opportunity. I am close. It may be business, it may be financial, it may be marital, it may be your health, it may be ministry. Let me not be close to the door of the next season, and yet blindness will make me weary myself. Give me clarity and precision. Open eyes at the gate. Open eyes at the gate. When I stand at the gate of my next level, open eyes. When I stand at the door of a new cave, open eyes.
When Hagar was banished with Ishmael, they were in the desert. Watch this. The Bible says Sarah gave only a jug of water and sent Hagar away. A jug of water for a destiny journey. And then the Bible says that when the water was spent, Hagar began to cry. And the young lad began to cry. And the Bible says, God, he said, respect the covenant. Because we lie the place, the waste places of darkness is a habitation of cruelty. And God heard the voice of the young lad. Watch this. And the Bible says that when God came and he conversed with Hagar, suddenly Hagar's eyes was open and she saw an oasis. You can be standing. Do you know, I have found out from experience that most of the things that will lift us are close. There are few things that are outside your house. Almost everything you will need is in your house. You can be looking at the jar and the oil, but until you see clearly, you cannot see that that jar and oil can pay your debt. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The miracle of open eyes to know what to do past time, past season, to know what to do. Do you know, see, listen,
If your eyes are closed, many good things will pass you and you will not see. And the thing about life is, all things don't come easy all times. There are things that when they leave, it will take a long time, like the hand of a clock, before it comes again. You may be looking for a job, and just because your eyes are closed, you can be looking at a newspaper and never see an opening. And the job will go, and the next time they will call for a job again, maybe 6 years. You are going to say, Lord, open my eyes to redeem what you are bringing in this season. I don't want to miss precious. I don't have that time to waste again. There are things you are doing in this. Open my eyes. Koinonia, you are praying. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to prosper. Open my eyes to prosper. Give me an understanding of the time, like the sons of Issachar, like the sons of Issachar. Give me an understanding that I will know what I ought to do. Give me an understanding of the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I used to have a dear friend years ago, and I remember him telling me a very serious story. That in the early 90s, 1990-91, when they were tying water in Lagos, the Spirit of God brought an idea from heaven, like fire, that once upon a time, or a time will come, where water will bring billions for people in this country. It didn't make sense. Listen carefully. At that time, water that you can fetch in a well, when they started what we now call pure water, he had the opportunity, but he could not see the potentials in it. And many years later, when people would become billionaires, the father has gone to be with the Lord. And he said, the father stood one day and said, my God, I would have been at the forefront of this. I heard the story of the sewage system in Lagos. That it was somebody God gave an idea. He saw what people did not see. And he started sewage. People laughed at him. And he made billions from it. Listen. It would take the opening of your eyes to stand. And while everybody is looking, you are seeing. You are seeing a secret. There was something, listen to me, Papa Hagin was praying and God gave him an idea on how to sustain ministry. When Papa Hagin was getting old, many people started trying that formula and it stopped working. And then there was a man by the name David Yonggi Cho. He went to God and cried and said, Lord, what is the secret to church growth? And the Holy Ghost took him to the book of Acts and opened him up to what we now call in the body of Christ the cell system. But the system, even though it's working, right now, because times change, you will need to keep seeing per season. What worked yesterday may fail tomorrow. That is why it is important that your eyes never goes dim. Otherwise, yesterday's blessing can become tomorrow's curse. You will need the eyes that see. There are things that people did 20 years ago in ministry and would excel. You do it today. Because of the context of the generation you are ministering to, it may not work again. It is God that knows what the next 10 years will be. 20 years ago, nobody would believe that we'll be in such a web-immersed world, and only the God of heaven with the all-seeing eye who can know what the next 10 years will be. And let me tell you, if God gives you the advantage of sight, you can go before a generation comes and wait for them there. Listen, I know what I'm saying. I'm not talking nonsense. I want you to believe me. There are things that God is doing in your life now because of what the future will look like. Who would have believed that a day will come, no matter how diligent you are with a typewriter? Get any small child now, they don't know how to type, they swipe. You were not like that. Are we together? You find these little children and they are swiping. That's a generation. You say typewriter, they don't know what you are talking about. The next 10 years, the next 5 years, the next 20 years is not before any scientist. There is the eye. The king of Syria said, who reveals this secret before it happens? They said, it's none of us. There is a man who does not need to come to the inner chamber, but can stay where he is and have the advantage of sight. This is going to be your prayer. Lord, what is the strategy for dominion, sociologically speaking, in the years that come? Open my eyes. Lift your voice and pray. Open my eyes to see now. Roshaba, shekete, roshaba, roshaba, ipetika, itapakate, iteluku, iteluza, shababa, shekete, open my eyes.
Hallelujah.
We're rounding up. Please be patient. Give us Luke chapter 4, please, from verse 15. Luke chapter 4 and verse 15. Go to 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Please look up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Next verse. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Stop. Keep that scripture there. When the book was given, he found the place. The secret is written somewhere. It has to be somewhere. There is a place where it is written. The secret I need to see. The anointing. There has to be a book. There has to be a message somewhere. There are hundreds of koinonia messages. But Lord, as I open my laptop, which one has in it what is written for this season? And God can open your eyes. The Bible says, listen, is it not amazing that even though the book was open, he still had to find. The book was open, but he kept searching until he found the place. Found the place. Revelation has location. He found the place. He found the place. Lifting has location. Breakthrough is territorial.
he found the place where it was written concerning him. She found the business that has the grace that is upon her. He found the kind of ministry that will lift him. Listen to me. You are going to pray, Lord, the grace to find the place for my influence, the place, every place is not for you. Lord, where is my place? The grace to find my place. Lift your voice and pray. The grace Look at me. Everything that is precious in the spirit is hidden. It's not at plain sight. You can find it through materials. You can find it in men. You can find it in teachings. It is up to you to cry to the God of heaven. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. The truth that can fire you to another dimension is hidden somewhere. Listen, I have found things in my life that have become like missing treasures. The Bible says the kingdom is like a treasure that a man found or got missing. And the first thing was that he took a lamp. He lit the room and he carried broom and swept that room thoroughly. Every nook and cranny, he swept it until he found the treasure. And when he found that treasure, he had found life. There are things God showed me about the anointing. There are things God showed me about men. There are things God has showed me about the cosmos. We are going to pray again. I don't know. Please try to believe. Some of you, what I'm saying may not make sense to you now. But if it is dominion you want to walk in, you must pray. Lord, let my eyes locate the information that I need in this season for my next level. Open your mouth and let my eyes. Let me give us one more prayer point. Jesus takes a man out of a city who is blind. The Bible just calls him a blind man. This is someone with a name, born of a woman, and yet blindness grew to become the capture of his experience. He was named after that condition.
Jesus takes that man, spits on the ground. Listen to me. This is a powerful revelation. Do you have the flexibility to allow God open your eyes the way he wants to? I would not want a man to spit on the ground to open my eyes. Do I have to go through that to see? Many will say, I'd rather be blind. But the man was quiet. There are times that the level of adaptation and sacrifice it takes to see, it will take God to give you the grace. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, please follow me. That was not the first time Jesus was opening the eyes of many. There were others. He just laid his hands. There were others. He touched their eyes and said, go and wash in Siloam. And here is a man here. He comes to Jesus to say, Jesus, let my eyes be open. I'm tired of the limitation that comes with blindness. And then Jesus does not speak the word. He uses saliva. I'm not a medical person, but I know that sometimes if you are fasting or someone, you can have bad breath. Now imagine Jesus spitting on the earth. The level of disdain, all this rigor just to see. Listen, seeing is not cheap. It will take a level of sacrifice and adaptation and even death. Yes, sir. There are things you will only see after 3 months of fasting, like you are going to die. It is the price for that sight. I wish I can tell you with one prophetic word or after this service, you will just see everything. The prayer is a journey. All lights have prices attached to them. Let me tell you sincerely, it is the truth. All lights liberate, but they do not have equal value. There are lights that when you have them, they will make you have others. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Let me give you an instance. You can have light that will bless you in an area and give you breakthrough momentarily. You can have spiritual light and do well in your spiritual life. You can have light in the area of leadership. But if, for instance, your finance remains grounded, many other things will suffer because of it. So when God gives you light in that area, it is from that light you will find where other areas are missing. So there are certain lights that until you find them, other lights cannot be found. That's why I said all lights don't carry equal value. There are some lights that will give you rest. Are you getting what I'm saying? But follow my story. Jesus spits on the ground. I'm sure the man is listening. On the ground. And he mixes with dust. And the man is feeling something being rubbed on his eyes. And he's saying, what is this? And Jesus says, you just keep quiet. You are rubbing sand on my eyes. What did I do wrong? The last time I know, sand can cause blindness, not open eyes. When sand is in your eyes, you open it for someone to blow it away, no matter how small. Here is the Messiah carrying a lump of sand, mixing it to be wet with saliva, and putting it in your eyes. And he says, now, what do you see? And he said, I've started seeing, but I'm not seeing clearly. Listen, I've started walking in the anointing after the rigor and the sacrifice. God can give you an instruction and say, for the next 2 months, 50% of everything you earn, give it away. And he said, Lord, for what? He said, that's the price to lead you into where you will have the open eyes that will make you see for wealth. And he said, God, no, I'm not stupid. I can't work hard and give 50%. He said, that's it. Do you have the flexibility to bend that far? Seeing is not cheap. When the man got up, now listen, because many of us are here, he started seeing, but he was not seeing well. And then he touched his eyes again.
and he says, I now see clearly. You are going to pray, Lord, you touched my eyes 4 years ago to see what I now see. Please touch it again in this season. Touch it. You touched my eyes and I stepped into a level of the anointing. Right now, the needs of the season require a higher level of grace. Touch my eyes. Please lift your voice and pray. You have to sit on the ground and make people out of it. I am that flexible. If I must fast, I am that flexible. If I must pray, I am that flexible. If you would declare me in a season of concentration for that day, I am that flexible. Whatever price you pay, hallelujah. Please allow me to give us one more prayer point. It just came to my heart. I've taught us that, come guys, that there are three levels of the anointing. Please stand here. Let them come here. Watch this, everybody. There is the anointing that is on your life by reason of being a believer. Once you are grafted into Christ, there is a measure of grace and the Spirit that is given. Number two, when you find your place in destiny, doesn't have to be ministerial office like fivefold. When you find your place, there is always an anointing waiting for you at the place of destiny. It is the anointing that comes with your call, your election, the purpose of God committed to you. Your contribution to kingdom advance has a grace there waiting for you. Watch this. But there is the third level of grace, and this is what I want us to pray. Every season, God is doing something specific. It is costly to think yesterday's grace will suffice for tomorrow. And so you must obtain, through discernment, high-level discernment, like the eagle watching the direction of the wind, and then it peaks. Other birds are flapping against the tides. But the eagle, the first thing the eagle does is not to fly. The first thing the eagle does is to stand from the mountain top, and with precision of vision, it can watch the tides this way, that way, this way, that way, and it flies and catches up with the current, spreads its wings. That's what we call soaring. It does not fly. The eagle soars. Birds fly. They depend on the energy of that mechanics that they go through. There are certain things, if you do not know, labor and hardship, even as pertaining your life and your destiny, it will be very clear that the current of God's grace per season is not at work in your life. Watch this. There is now the grace that comes upon your life as a reward for properly discerning what God is doing and plunging out to say, like the eagle, Lord, I'm available. In this season, I have discerned that you are looking for kingdom financiers. In this kingdom, I have discerned that you are restoring the healing ministry again to the body. In this season, I have discerned that your pattern of revival has changed. It is not a cyclical pattern, so I cannot study it from history. I will need to learn that move. It's a new dimension that has not come. This is strange, but like Habakkuk, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower. Let me discern the current. How do you want men to pray in this season? How do you want men to fast? How must ministry be done? Like the eagle, for that sacrifice of alignment, there is an anointing that comes on you. And when it comes upon you, the generation will know that you have been selected to stand to represent the purposes of God. Now, there are people who is not backsliding. They are still in the great grand blueprint
blueprint of God's program, but as far as the unique operation of God per season, they are not there. And let me tell you, it's a dangerous thing to be there and yet not be there. It's a dangerous thing to see Canaan and not enter. It's a dangerous thing to once be used. And not because your assignment is over, for failing to discern. Someone is going to pray, Lord, I have the grace, I am a believer. Lord, I have found my place in purpose and destiny, and I testify with all humility that there is a grace on my office. But I confess, give me the eyes of the eagle to see what you are doing so that I can obtain the grace for this season. Please lift your hands. What you are doing in the life of men, what you are doing about nations and territories, show me your Listen, by this prayer, hear me. There are some of you, what you need to see cannot be found on earth. So God will have to route it through the realm of the spirit and show you visions of things. John said, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of God. He was mandated to write the Apocalypse, the Revelation. And then he needed to be in the spirit on the Lord's day. Then I saw. There are certain things you cannot see in this realm. As occultists, they will tell you. There are certain things. One time, you know, because of the privilege of the apostolic grace and the office and what I do, I study across religions. I read all kinds of things, not to deceive the body, but then to be able to open up my vastness. And so through the years, I've done it a lot. And I remember one of the sects on earth, I was studying a bit on how they do their initiation. And there is part of the initiation that happens only when you sleep. Then it continues in the realm of the spirit. When it finishes and you wake up, then it will finish. So it starts physically, but there is a part of it that cannot be physical. Isn't it so? Then you will go to bed and it continues in the realm of the spirit. That concerns your soul. Your body is not involved. And then later on, you will finish physically. There are people like that. I remember a dear lady years ago who, I think they went to Kano to see someone. A herbalist, I was told. The man does not come until there is a sacrifice, a true story. And they brought a goat, physical goat. The goat disappeared in their presence. Not magic, right there, it disappeared. Next thing, a man comes out from nowhere. There are things that cannot be seen in this realm. Please hear me. I'm rounding up. I will lie to you, and my conscience will not let me rest if I don't tell you this. I will deceive you if I tell you that everything will be seen only with your optical eyes. There are graces, there are realms you cannot see and you cannot know in this body. Hear me. There are impartations that you cannot receive in the physical. They must happen in the spirit. There are books in the spirit. They are not only books in this realm. John was granted access to see the scrolls in heaven. There are callings that when God calls you, you must be exposed to certain kinds of angels. Listen, you will never be effective if you do not know them and how they operate. Now, theoretically, you will see in the word that they excel in light, they excel in strength. And from the truth of scripture, you can walk. But pragmatically speaking, as there are certain anointings, when they come upon you, you must see to be effective. If you cannot see, the grace will not be maximized, because the character of the operation of that grace will not only want you to discern, you must see. It has nothing to do with being a prophet. There are anointings that when they are on your life, your dream life must come alive, because that is the channel that that grace works. It works through the power of dreams. So I'm not going to deceive you to just say, go and buy physical books alone. No. There are times you will need to pray until you plunge into a reality and a dimension, not divination and some kinds of nonsense. The word of God remains the highest authority. But you can look and the light from scripture enters you, and you find yourself ordained into a dimension. I have told you my story. I have met demons. I have met angels. I know a bit about the realm of the spirit. I know a bit about these operations. And it is from the vastness of that knowledge that the dispensing of the grace of God is carried out. When you see me do some of the things that I do, they look easy because it's a product of careful work with the Spirit through many years. But there are many things that happen behind the scenes. If I tell you the power of God is coming on someone, it's not just a guess. No, there are many things that happen. If that revelation is to be broken down, you will be amazed. There are angels that excel in strength, that work with you. What God is doing through Koinonia teachings, there is a spiritual dynamics to it. It's not just prayer on something to spread around. No, there is what God is doing. So I'm telling you this because you have to be sensitive. There are some of you that would need to pray and say, Lord, even if I cannot see, can you anoint my dreams? Because God will be trying to show you something for a long time. Please listen. And all the channels, Dunsing sang it very well and said, channels of my spirit open up. Like a radio station. God may try to give you a call. God may try to send you an email. God may try to do what the channels. Lord, I know that you seek to communicate certain things to me. My spirit man has to be sensitive in this season. There are encounters I have had even in recent times that it may not be profitable now to share. But every time you see new levels in the spirit, please understand with me that something has happened in the spirit. That I can tell you. Are we together? People don't just rise. Levels and dimensions don't just change. Authority does not just come just because people are reading scripture. You see, there are things that happens between you and God that is a prohibition. It's not profitable, lest the body builds error out of it. So it is not everything that will come by reading books. It is not everything that will come by listening to messages. There are some of you who will be listening to a Koinonia message. Because of the grace that needs to come upon your life, you will be forced to sleep. Whether you are feeling sleepy or not, the grace mandates that your body must be at rest so that your spirit can ascend the level that captures the impartation that comes in that meeting. And you will go to bed and still be participating. You will still be following. But the difference now is that the message will now come with imagery. It's not just you listening again. It will bring you into scenarios and you will receive impartations. Listen, how did Solomon receive the grace for wisdom? He slept and a transaction happened in the realm of the spirit. It's in the Bible. How did Jacob receive that grace? After round of this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every one of your people in this auditorium, around and following from any part of the world. In the name of Jesus, I pray
that by the power of the Holy Spirit, may your eyes be open tonight. Every spiritual blindness that has been casted over your mind, casted over your eyes, so that you will not see that which pertains to your dominion in this season, I stand in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I command, let that veil be taken from off your eyes. The light that can turn your night to day, in the name of Jesus, I expose you to that body of truth. The light it takes to crush the head of evil over your life, over your family, in the name of Jesus, be exposed to that light. The light that must be cast upon your mind in this season to bring to life ideas, concepts, helping you maximize opportunities, I declare, may that light fall upon you now. Hear me. I frustrate the ministry of Satan. I decree and declare that every veil he may seek to cast upon your mind, may that assignment be thwarted now. The anointing that has been looking for you from the beginning of this year, by the power of light, I connect you to it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I sanctify every spiritual channel that God can use to communicate truth to you, from your dreams to visions to perceptions. I anoint them, may they work for you in the name of Jesus. Every angel assigned in this season to your life to help guide, like Daniel, working in partnership with the Holy Spirit to provide for understanding, may they excel in strength. May they excel in light. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Whatever has kept you at the same position, in the name of Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, by the power of light in this season, I move you to the next level of your destiny. In the name of Jesus. Finally, let me pray for your loved ones and all who are connected to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, by the power of sight, by the power of light and illumination, sustain the authority to liberate your loved ones. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for everyone here, every dormant gift, every ability of the Spirit that is lying quietly but has not yet been tapped to be profitably used for kingdom advance and for your lifting, I declare a quickening of those gifts now. The appetite to study scripture in the name of Jesus, the appetite to listen to materials that can bless you, to study books, that mental inertia that wants to cripple your growth and dominion, I crush it now in the name of Jesus. Finally, I pray for you. The result that must happen in this season to motivate you. Because you see, we are motivated in this kingdom by the workings of the principles that we engage. When you engage truth and it works, then you are motivated to explore more. I pray for you. The result needed in this season that will move you and motivate you to higher realms in the spirit, may that result begin to speak in your life. Finally, I pray for you. The anointing that is corporately released upon this house in this season,
to bring men into realms of light and illumination. In the name of Jesus, I connect you to that grace. In the name of Jesus, I connect you to that grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please listen. I gave us 3 books to read. There is a reason why I gave you these books. I want to encourage us, heed to instructions. Instructions are for our profiting. If you do not have it, especially for our family in other regions, please do well to get it. I gave us 3 books to read. Number 1, The Final Quest, Rick Joyner. Number 2, Divine Revelation of the Spirit Realm. Not heaven, not hell, not angels, the spirit realm. Mary Kay Baxter. And then number 3, Rediscovering the Kingdom. Miles Munro. Please get these books. You can get the soft copies. Listen to them. Don't just get the 1-hour summary online. Read the books. Discipline yourself. Praise the Lord. We're on a journey in the Spirit and God is taking us very far. Father, we bless you for tonight. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. In the name of Jesus. I want to do an altar call and then I'll quickly perform a function and we're done. Just spare me a few minutes and we're done. Please, there are people here, inside, outside. Let's minimize movement. You are here. Remember, I showed you the scripture. The Bible says they overcame them first by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb speaks of the atoning work of the Son of the Living God. And there are people here, thank you. There are people here who are yet to make this commitment for Jesus. You are here. I know that our time is spent, but I want to give you an opportunity right where you are. Please, I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to stand and make your way quickly. Overflow 1, 2, 3, for overflow 3, and then the one just closed, I don't know what it's called, 2B. Please, you want to move to your projector stand because of time. But overflow 1 and 2, and the one at the extreme, the main auditorium here, don't be shy, don't be afraid. You are saying, Apostle, I truly want to make my ways right with God. Wherever you are, please leave your seat very quickly. We have 1 minute for this. Celebrate them as they come. Don't be the first. Don't wait for someone to start before you come. Very quickly, please make your way. Koinonia, celebrate them as they come. Celebrate them as they come. God bless you. Whosoever will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. If you're coming from outside, please double up very quickly. Double up very quickly. Hallelujah.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia live, go to
mixella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate you.